Would you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16? Acts 16, we're going to read in verse 25. Before we do, let me remind you that the Apostle Paul has come into Europe here. He's gone into the city of Philippi, and he is preaching to a woman with a demoniac spirit, cast the demon out of her, and as a result of that, gets thrown into jail. He and Silas are beaten, and they're dragged down the street and thrown into the jail. Now, in verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleeping, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now the passage is one that is used by evangelists the country over, and the point being to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. There are several things about the passage that I want to refer to before we get down to the point. I want to talk to you about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I want you to notice about the keeper of the prison here. The idea is preached that this man is a heathen, idol worshiper, and all this kind of thing, but I do not believe that. I believe that this man is a believer in the sense that he believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe that this man understands the wrath of God as is referred to in the Scripture. Notice that this man said, What must I do to be saved? Well, he certainly is not afraid to die at that moment. In fact, he would rather die at that moment than to suffer whatever it is that he believes is about to happen. For he had just taken his sword and was about to kill himself. Well, the fact that he's about to kill himself bears out the fact that he's not afraid to die. Therefore, he cannot be saying, What must I do to be saved from death? He believes there is something else to be saved from, or else he wouldn't be saying that. Now, I believe that as we study the Word of God, Paul said, Rightly divide the word of truth. And I believe in comparing Scripture with Scripture that I might understand the truth. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, I believe it's about verse 3 or 4 along in there, that the things which are written aforetime were written for our admonition and our learning, that we by patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I believe there's a truth here. And I don't believe I have to force the truth in here. The fact is that there is a time in the future when the wrath of God is going to fall upon this world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that when he opened the sixth seal, the heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon turned into blood, the stars fell, and on. He says that the rich men, the chief men, and the captains, and bondmen, and free men, and on, all these people, began to hide themselves in the rocks and the mountains, and say to the rocks and mountains, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the day, great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, then there is a day coming when the wrath of God is going to fall upon this world, and when that wrath falls upon this world, it's going to be a time when all hell is going to break loose, and probably more so than just the sound of the words might imply. If you consider the book of consider Revelation chapter 6 and the things that are said there in Revelation chapter 6. There is a writer there that hell follows after him, the Bible says. And so when you say all hell is going to break loose, there certainly is an implication that all hell is going to break loose. But my point here is that there is a great day when the wrath of God is going to fall, and it is a day when the Bible says that men are going to seek death and they cannot find it. Look in your Bible, please, to Revelation I look in Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And of them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And notice that these individuals are not just scorpions like you might, locusts like you might find out here hanging on a tree somewhere. These locusts have a king over them in verse 11. Therefore, there can't be just a common, ordinary locust that you might see in everyday life. Verse 5, to them was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment is the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. If I put that together with Acts chapter 16, then in Acts chapter 16, I suppose that I probably have a picture, a foretaste of something that is about to come. What am I saying? I'm saying that Paul and Silas are down in that jail there, as men will be in jail at that time for preaching the Word of God and be tortured for preaching the Word of God. And Paul and Silas are praying. And as they pray, an earthquake comes and shakes the prison and shakes their bonds loose. The jailer is a type of those in the tribulation. And this jailer, he believes that the tribulation has begun. He believes the wrath of God is about to fall. I'm making an application now. He believes that the wrath of God is about to fall upon the world. And believing that the wrath of God is about to fall, he rather kill himself than to suffer that which is going to come upon this earth. And if you think that death is bad, if you think that you have any kind of description of death that you can give, there is nothing about death that you can give that can be descriptive enough to compare with that which is coming upon men during that day. I've heard men preach, and they preach about how that somebody was in an automobile and that automobile turned over and caught fire. And I've heard about truck drivers. One truck driver in particular up in Alabama that I know about that had an accident up there, was pulling a gas tank behind him, and he was hemmed into this cab of this truck. And men stood there and watched this fella burn to death while that man screamed with ear-piercing screams, desiring to get out of that truck, begging somebody to pull him out of that truck, begging them to free him from that truck, and whatever. But that is nothing compared to that which is going to come upon this earth in one day. When the wrath of God begins to fall upon this earth, men are going to seek death. They're going to try to kill themselves. They're going to try to do anything they can to evade and avoid the wrath of God falling upon them at that day. I believe the jailer here is a type of that tribulation man who is going to seek death and he can't find it. And so the jailer, thinking that the wrath of God is falling, runs in, grabs a sword. He's going to kill himself. But Paul said, "Do thyself no harm. We are still here." Now, some of you will probably accuse me of just making up some stuff here and trying to make some kind of doctrine out of something that isn't there, but I don't care. The fact is that when Paul said, "Do thyself no harm," we're still here. I'm saying unto you that I do not believe that the wrath of God is going to fall upon this world as long as the church, which is the body of Christ, is here. Turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Thessalonians, and look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there is a reference to the coming of the man of sin, the son of perdition, in verse 3. Now in verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Those Thessalonians knew that the man of sin, the son of perdition, was going to be revealed. They knew that he had a time to be revealed. And they knew that there was something that withheld him from being revealed at that time and would withhold him from being revealed until it was his time to be revealed. Verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. I'm saying that the he of verse 7 has to do with the church, which is the body of Christ. I'm saying that the he of verse 7 will match the church, which is the body of Ephesians chapter 4, which is the one perfect man, built into one perfect man. All right? He that now letteth will let until it be taken out of the way. The church, which is the body of Christ, shall be taken out of the way, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, and on and on. I'm saying unto you that the church, which is the body of Christ, is going to be built up. It's going to come to its fullness. And when the church, which is the body of Christ, has come to its fullness, then it shall be taken out of the way. But the man of sin, the son of perdition, cannot be revealed until the church, which is the body of Christ, is taken out of the way. I am a firm believer that the rapture is going to come before the 70th week of Daniel. I'm a firm believer that the rapture is going to come before the tribulation and before the wrath of God falls upon this world. And I believe the type is back there in Acts chapter 16. When Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all still here." I'm saying unto you that as long as the church, which is the body of Christ, is here, the wrath of God is not going to fall upon this world. The wrath of God is for the disobedient. The wrath of God is for the rebels. The wrath of God is appointed, and it is not for the church, which is the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 9, verse 22, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he the before prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Well, then there are vessels of wrath. These vessels of wrath are fitted unto destruction. There are vessels of mercy. The vessels of mercy are prepared unto glory. That is unmistakable. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Thessalonians, and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The wrath to come in verse 10 matches the great day of his wrath that has come in Revelation chapter 6. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him," matching Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that says he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now you think with me a minute. If God Almighty is going to deliver us from this present evil world, but if we're going to reign with Christ, as people believe, Revelation chapter 20, why would God Almighty deliver us from this present evil world if we were coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ to reign with Jesus Christ in glory? I mean, couldn't God Almighty take care of the church? I mean, after all, why deliver us from the present evil world? Because the judgment that is coming upon this world and the wrath that is coming upon this world was placed upon us on Calvary when we were in Christ on Calvary, in that Christ died for our sins on Calvary, and God Almighty poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary in the believer's half. Therefore, the wrath of God has already spent its force upon the individual in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be delivered from that wrath that is going to come. I'm saying that as long as the church, which is the body of Christ, is still here, the wrath will never come. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe in that day, on and on. I'm saying that the church, the body of Christ, is going to be taken out of this world. When it is taken out of this world, then God's wrath is going to be loosed upon this world. But as long as we are still here, do thyself no harm, you still have an opportunity to be saved. You see, I'm a firm believer in the fact that there is only one line that you can cross wherein there is no salvation for you. I don't believe there is some line in a man's life today that he can cross over where there's no salvation. Let's just say that you were born where I've got this mark right here, and that this right here represents your life. All right, you hear the gospel preached here, and you hear it preached here, and you reject Christ here, and finally they say there comes a day that God ain't going to let you get saved. Well, I believe there's going to be a day coming when you can't be saved, but I don't believe that it'll be while the church, the body of Christ, is here. In other words, as long as the church, the body of Christ, is still here, as long as the grace of God is preached, as long as it is preached that Christ died for our sins and is buried and rose again for our justification, you can be saved. But that day when the church, which is the body of Christ, is called out, when that day comes, you're going to cross over a line and you cannot be saved after that time. Turn, please, to 2 Thessalonians again. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Yes, I believe there is a line. I believe there is a line that you can cross over, and you can't be saved. What line is that? That has to do with that day when the church, the body of Christ, goes out of this world. And when the church, the body of Christ, goes out of this world, then you're going into that period of time on the other side over there, and God will send you strong delusion and cause you to believe a lie and be damned. Why? Because you believed not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath that's coming upon this world. Hence, the Philippian jailer runs in there, falls down upon his knees, and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Well, I believe that he's saying, "What must I do to be saved from wrath?" He's not saying, "What must I do to be saved from death?" I mean, he's just been getting ready to kill himself there. He stopped from doing that by the words, "We're all still here." Are you listening to me? As long as the church, which is the body of Christ, is here, you still have a day of grace. As long as the church, which is the body of Christ, is here, you can still call upon the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you miss it, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Trust Christ today, the Bible said. Then if you do not trust Christ, and the rapture comes, and the church is gone, then you've spent that time. You have no opportunity of salvation after then. I believe in this Bible that Methuselah is a type here. In this Bible there is a man whose name is Methuselah. And the word Methuselah means, I'm told, as long as he is here, or rather that is, when he's gone, it shall come. In other words, when as long as they could watch Methuselah walk around, as long as they saw Methuselah, they said, well, it isn't going to come. When he's dead, it's going to come. I believe Methuselah is a representation of that time. Not the body of Christ, but that time in there when the long-suffering of God waits. Long-suffering of God is putting off his wrath falling. But when the church, which is the body of Christ, is gone, then the wrath is going to fall. As long as you can go to church on Sunday morning, are you listening to me? I'm talking about going to church on Sunday morning. I'm talking about getting up out of your bed. I'm talking about as long as you can get dressed on Sunday morning and go to Sunday school and take your family to church on Sunday morning, the day of grace is still here. There is a day coming, though, when the church, which is the body of Christ, is going to get out of here. As long as the church, which is the body of Christ, is here, then the Antichrist is with hell, and the wrath of God is with hell. And you can still go somewhere, and you can hear the grace message preached. There is somewhere that you can drive to. I mean, it ain't too far away if you're not too dog lazy to get out of bed and too unconcerned about the Lord and too unconcerned about other souls. And if you're not too unconcerned about your own family, then you can get out of bed and you can drive somewhere and hear the grace of God preached. You say, yeah, but there ain't no grace church around where I'm at. There is one somewhere that you can go to and hear the Word of God preached. You don't hesitate to get out and get in your automobile and drive 100 miles to get to the beach. You don't hesitate to get out and get in your automobile and drive 200 miles to go to a sports event. You don't hesitate to get out and drive mile after mile after mile to a shopping center, to a mall, to hear somebody strum a guitar and yell obscenities into a microphone and on and on. Well, then if you have any concern at all, you just remember one thing. There is a church somewhere today that is preaching the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of the grace of God, and you can hear if you'll go there. And as long as the church, which is the body of Christ, remains in this world, you can still hear. But there is going to come a day when we are not going to be here anymore. We are going to be gone. And you can't come running, springing in, and falling on your knees and saying, what must I do to be saved? Any more than Esau, who sold his birthright and sold out everything he had for a morsel of pottage, any more than he himself could get on his knees before his daddy and say, I want that blessing. And even though he repented with tears and cried and begged for that blessing, he couldn't get it. I'm saying unto you that when the church, which is the body of Christ, is gone out of this world, you can fall on your knees in repentance, and you can beg for mercy, and you can beg for a blessing from Almighty God, but you won't get it. You have spent your time. You have laughed in the face of God by not going there where the Word of God was preached. And I believe in going to church to hear the Word of God preached. I believe in assembling together to hear the Word of God preached. And I believe that that's the method that God Almighty has planned. I believe in the local church. I believe in a church that has a pastor that preaches the Word of God rightly divided, that preaches the gospel of Christ, and preaches that the gospel of Christ is the grace of Christ, and on and on. You can hear it if you are concerned at all. But there's a day coming, the church is going to be gone, and you can't hear it. Now notice what Paul and Silas said. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be saved from the wrath to come? Then I can say unto you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that it is very important to emphasize believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Each word has a significance to it. I am absolutely assured that in the world today there are those that believe on Jesus, but they don't believe that He's Lord. I believe there are those today that believe on Christ, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe there are those today that claim to believe on the Lord, but they don't believe Jesus is Lord, as in the case of Jehovah Witness, for instance. Now, Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord in a King James Bible literally means owner. In fact of the business, the Greek word that is translated Lord in this passage in Acts chapter 16 is translated owner in Luke 19. In Luke 19, Jesus Christ is on His way into Jerusalem. He gets upon the Mount of Olives, and He sends the apostles forward, and He said, go down there, and you will find in that village over there a colt tied and an ass with him. Bring them unto Me. Loose them and bring them unto Me. Now notice, in verse 32, they went, and they that were sent went their way and found as even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose you the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as He went, they spread their clothes in the way. Now in Matthew chapter 21, the same event is there, and you'll find that there is an ass tied there with her, and on and on. Now, an ass in this Bible is likened unto a man. The word owners in verse 33 is the word Lord in Acts chapter 16. In other words, they were lords of this coat. Now, go back to Exodus and look in Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus 13, and notice in verse 13, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem of the lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Well, it is clear then. In other words, an ass is likened to a man, or a man likened to an ass. And if they wanted to purchase that ass, that firstling there, then they had to sacrifice a lamb for him. Otherwise, if they were not willing to sacrifice a lamb for him, then they're to kill him, they're to break his neck. And any individual today who does not have the Lamb of God sacrificed for them are going to die. And so the likeness is very clear there. In fact, there's so much involved. You'll find that Jesus is standing there looking down upon that little old village down there, and there's the colt tied in that village. That colt is tied. An individual is tied in trespasses and sins until they've trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. In fact, Paul said, I am carnal, sold under sin. And the Bible said, there is none good, no, not one. And Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me, and on and on. You are bound by sin. Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh, this body of death? And he said, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can't deliver yourself from sin. You are bound by sin. You are tied to sin, and you can't release yourself. But yet, those that Jesus sent forth were to loose that animal. I believe that the preacher, as he preaches the Word of God rightly divided, as he preaches the gospel of Christ, and preaches that Christ died for our sins, and was buried, and rose again, and so forth, I believe that he has a loosing power there, and it is the Word of God that looses the individual that hears the words and believes them. That animal is tied down there. Sinners are tied. That animal is tied at a place where two ways meet. And we are constantly at a place where two ways meet. Every lost sinner is at a place where there is a broad way that leads into destruction, and there is a narrow way that leadeth unto life, according to Matthew chapter 7, You must make a decision. You must either receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be saved from eternal damnation in hell, or else you must reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and continue in the broad way and finally die in eternal damnation, suffering eternal damnation in hell and the wrath of God. They were to go there, and they were to find that animal, they were to loose that animal, and they were to bring that animal unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did so. The word Lord means owner. Is Jesus Christ your owner? Do you recognize him as your owner? The Bible is clear that he is your owner. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God Almighty purchased you at Calvary, and you belong to the Lord. There is no mistake about that. You say, but how about them that are not saved? Them that haven't received Jesus as their Lord and Savior are bought with the same price. The Bible is clear in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You are bought with a price. Therefore, God is your owner. He purchased you at Calvary, and he is Lord of your life. You may not admit it. You may not bow down to him now, but the Bible said there is a day coming when your head is going to bow, your knees are going to bend, and your tongue is going to confess Jesus as Lord to the glory of God the Father. You cannot escape it. You can either bow before him today, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and admit that he's your Lord, or you can reject him and go into the wrath of God and finally stand at a judgment and fall on your face there and confess him there. Confess him now and be saved from the wrath that's to come. The word also means master. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He will love the one and hate the other, cling to the one, and so forth and so on. You can't serve two masters. Now get the idea. God Almighty purchased you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he owns you. If he owns you, he is your master. Therefore, the Bible said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe that he owns you and that he is master of your salvation. You can't save yourself. Listen to me, anybody that is trying to save themselves by keeping the commandments, do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody who is trying to do good to get into heaven doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are those that have turned their salvation over to God, committed their soul unto God, and believe that God Almighty is going to save them out of this world. They are trusting him to deliver them from this present evil world due to the fact that they belong to him, and he's going to save that which belongs to him. God is your master, whether you agree or not. He owns you, having purchased you with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, as a fascinating thing happens, when Jesus Christ is resurrected, he appeared unto the apostles. Thomas was not there. And finally, after 8 days, Jesus Christ appears back there. Previous to that time, Thomas said, I don't believe that. I do not believe it, and I won't believe it unless I can put my finger in the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand into his side. And Jesus Christ appeared that day while Thomas was there and presented himself to Thomas and in effect told Thomas, go ahead, feel the nail prints in my hand and thrust your hand into my side. But Thomas, there's no indication he did. Thomas said in verse 28, my Lord and my God. That is, he believed that Jesus Christ owned him as God. Jesus as God owned him, having purchased him on Calvary. Hence he said, my Lord and my God. That brings me to the word Jesus. The word Jesus literally means Jehovah is Savior. Jehovah is Savior. In other words, God Almighty purchased you at Calvary. Turn, please, in your Bible to Zechariah, and look in Zechariah chapter 12. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9. Zechariah 12, 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I... there's the Lord, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. The one they pierced on Calvary is the Lord of the Old Testament scriptures. Now there is no doubt about that. It is clear there, I will pour upon the house of David the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and mourn for him. That one that is coming again, that one that is going to appear again, is the same one that is Lord in the Old Testament scriptures, and that is the one that died on Calvary. Turn, please, to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. In Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It is the blood of Almighty God that was shed on Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God was in Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I do not believe that the flesh, I do not believe that the body that was born is God. I believe that he's the Son of God. And yet, the blood that he shed is the blood of Almighty God. Jesus Christ represented God the Father upon this earth, and God was in Christ. The Bible said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Spirit of God is in Christ. I'm saying unto you that Jehovah Savior, I'm saying that the Lord of the Old Testament scriptures is the one that gave himself upon Calvary for you, the Lord that walked in the garden in the Old Testament scriptures and said, Adam, where art thou, is the one that was there at Calvary. The Lord that was there at that burning bush and spoke unto Moses there is the one that was on Calvary. I'm saying unto you that he's the Lord, and that God shed his own blood there, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ones that is the thing that purchases us and pays for our sin, and because of that shed blood there, he owns you lock, stock, and barrel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not believe that the Old Testament Lord is the Savior of the New Testament, then you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bible, please, to Isaiah, and look in Isaiah. Well, there's no need to turn there. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Why, the Spirit's interpretation of the passage is in Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 23, in Matthew 1, in verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord to the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Well, then the word Jesus is God with us. It's Emmanuel. Then God was in Christ. He dwelt in Christ. Look in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It is the Old Testament Lord. It is the Creator of heaven and earth. The Bible said that God created the heaven and the earth, but the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus did that. In other words, God spoke the words and the Son of God did the work. He is the Lord of the Old Testament Scriptures. He's the Lord of that Bible. Believe on the Lord Jehovah Savior, which is Christ. He is Lord, He is Savior, and He is anointed of God. Notice in your Bible in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, and notice in verse 3, Jesus praying, and He says in verse 3, And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. In other words, Jesus calls Himself Christ in John 17, verse 3. That's enough for me. The word is Christos. It's in other words, He's the Lord's Christ. Turn, please, to Luke, and look in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2. In Luke 2:25, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Well, folks, if it's revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, then he's led by the Holy Ghost, and by the Holy Ghost he realizes that holding this young child, which is Jesus, in his arms, he's seeing the Lord's Christ. There is no way to misunderstand that. There's no way to misinterpret that. All you have to do is believe what you read. Then Jesus is the Lord's Christ. Well, then the Lord has a Christ. The devil has a Christ. The Lord's Christ is Jesus. He said, I came in my Father's name, and you receive me not. He came in the Father's name, God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, Jehovah, Savior. I came in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you shall receive. Jesus is the Lord's Christ. Therefore, any individual who claims to believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins on Calvary, but do not believe that He is the Christ, that believe that He is the Messiah, the anointed of Almighty God, that He's the King of Israel, the one that shall reign over the house of Israel forever, the one to whom the throne belongs, as in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, and numerous other passages. Why, when the angel spoke unto Mary, that angel said, You're going to conceive, you're going to bear a son, call his name Jesus, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed of God. He is the Messiah, and He is heir to the throne of David. It is He that shall return again. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to come again and sit upon that throne. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How can you be saved? Believe that God Almighty purchased you at Calvary by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit the salvation of your soul body and spirit unto him by receiving Christ as your Savior and by trusting him and him alone to save you from the wrath. You can no more get out of this world by yourself before the wrath than Israel could get out of Egypt by swimming the Red Sea. Believe on the Lord. Commit your salvation unto him. Quit working for your salvation. Believe what the Bible said. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for you at Calvary and that he paid for all your sins at Calvary and that God Almighty raised him from the dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved from the wrath to come, not only the wrath to come, but eternal damnation in hell and the lake of fire. Our time is gone. Glad you listened. Until the next time, good day.